You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 76 of Ravens Weekly, proudly sponsored by our good friends at GPM Group. Big thank you to them as always. Delighted to be joined by James Tanner. James, how are we doing?
Afternoon, Matt. I'm all good. How are you?
Yes, very, very well, thank you. Seen some more football on the screens in the past few days. Gradually getting used to no fans at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of football still on the TV. We've got the League One playoff final coming up pretty soon and the conclusion of the Championship on its way as well, and obviously the Premier League. So yeah, it's all actually getting quite interesting now. Lots of things to be decided at both ends of the table in the Championship and obviously in the Premier League relegation battles and the race for Europe. So yeah, all good viewing at the minute.
And of course, I think it's proving to everyone, we already knew it, didn't we, as fans of a non-league club, that football is really nothing without fans, is it?
Yeah, but it's just exactly that, and we all just can't wait to have fans back in the stadium and be watching football again, especially here at Bromley. And yeah, just getting fans back into the stadium has to be the number one priority for football at the moment, making sure it's safe to do so. But yeah, I really hope that's not too far off now. We can start dreaming of having games played with supporters watching on.
We never thought we'd be in that position, did we? Of just wanting a match with fans in. But it just shows the situation that we're in at the moment that we've been going through for the past few months. However, there have been green shoots that have appeared very recently, so we're going to cover some of that a little bit later. But first up, something I think pretty much all of you will have seen during the week was the chairman's update on the 8th of July. That was Wednesday. Now, it sought to cover a few main points, really, and the most important one of those was season tickets. We had a record number of you who committed your support to us last season, which was outstanding. Again, I think, James, each year I think we've broken records consecutively, haven't we? And we just seem to keep on doing it, which is absolutely outstanding and shows the level of support that we're now drumming up for this club, which is amazing. And we commented in the last podcast, general attendances have gone up as well. Now, for those of you who did commit to us, whether it was a full season ticket, an early bird or a half season ticket, you will have missed the final four games. Obviously, James, there are going to be two options for those people. Yep. If you wouldn't mind taking us through.
Yeah, as outlined in Robin's statement, the options are you can, as you hope you'd expect, can apply for a refund for those four games. That cost is calculated dependent on whether, as Matt said, you got a early bird season ticket or a half season ticket. So that's how that's going to be calculated, but. If you are one of the many supporters that have already got in contact with us wanting to support the club during this extremely difficult time, there is the option to donate that amount back to the football club. And that's something we will be getting in contact with season ticket holders, just asking them, you know, what your preference is there. And those are the two options that are available at this time.
And we say it so much, it's almost a cliche, but this is really a family club, isn't it? And I think now with the responses that we've had from fans in the week, I know there's been a lot of emails come through. I've seen some responses on social media. We've had answer phone messages and all sorts, even supporters just messaging us personally and saying, look, I don't want a refund. And that really does show what this club is about. It's a community club. You know, we're all in it together. And every single one of those people who said that really wants to help the club further.
It's amazing to see the initial response, and I'm sure those responses will continue to flood through. And obviously, when we do our call to the season ticket holders, I'm sure we'll get very similar responses to those that have been posting sort of emails and posts on social media. So that is, you know, it's amazing to see, and I know for a fact that every supporter will be wanting to do their small bits, however, however small or big they can support the club, and that is one huge way at this moment in time you can support the club. And you know, to be fair, whilst it's only four games as a club, to refund those percentages of the season ticket would be a very considerable amount, and to have that then donated back to the club would be huge at this time, especially with, you know, other streams of income just ceasing to exist at this moment in time.
And I think just another thing I'd like to mention is just a thank you to everyone for their patience. I mean, we really didn't have people sort of emailing in, asking what was going to happen. Everybody was happy to wait and see what the situation is. And naturally, it's been a really difficult few months for us as a football club and for the whole landscape of football in general. Clubs have found it really, really difficult. It's thanks to having supporters like we do that are just willing to go that extra mile to help out. And they're perfectly entitled to their refund. But
of course,
so many are turning around and saying, no, you know, I didn't even consider taking a refund. If you wouldn't have said anything, I would have just left it. So it goes to show what outstanding supporters we have. And just from everybody at the club, thank you to you all. Don't feel like you have to get in touch just yet. We are going to contact season ticket holders to get their final verdict. So obviously the email went out and a lot of people have replied to it, but we are going to make contact to get your final decision on what you'd like to do. Obviously another thing that kind of relates to, James, that I just want to mention as well, a lot of clubs are doing different schemes. We've had a few people ask, are we going to be offering a credit off next season ticket? Well, no, we're not. Those are the two options, the refund or the donation to the club. And I mean, to be honest with you, a credit off next season ticket is just like a refund anyway, basically. Yeah. So just to not complicate things
exactly.
too much,
isn't
it? Exactly.
I think that's the best way to go about it. You know, you've got the two options. We're not going to try and create anything that's, you know, going to tie us into anything at this moment in time, because there are so many, you know, variables that still exist at this time and so many unknowns that are going to continue to exist throughout this next stage in this road back to hopefully some sort of football and supporters being allowed back into stadiums. So, yeah, they're the two options. It's important for us to try and keep it as simple as possible, just to, you don't want to add any more confusion to what is a really confused time and period we're living in at the moment. So they're the two options. And with regards to other information on actual tickets for matches and etc., as I'm sure you can appreciate, there's no further, you know, news on that front, just because there is no start date for the new season and there's no time just yet that we can actually say, yes, that's when football's going to return. And as Matt alluded to earlier, there is hopefully some green shoots to come with some very recent announcements, which we'll get onto very shortly. But at this moment, you know, we still don't know when football can officially return for us. And so once we do have those answers and once we can find out more, there'll be plenty more and we'll continue to keep you updated. But as Matt said earlier, you know, thanks to everyone for their patience. In a sense, you know, the reason there not being that much news and items to bring you was the reason why we had another week where we didn't have a podcast last week.
We've been away 2 weeks, apologies.
Which we'll apologise for, just because the fact that we didn't have anything to bring you and we thought it would be an injustice just having me and Matt ramble on about nothing.
I think the week before we chanced and
we went
for it. We managed to get through it. The week after, there was literally nothing to talk about.
So,
there was no updates.
You know, and
anything.
The fact that we've had Robin's statement and the news, you know, last night, if you're listening on Friday, from the Secretary of State. Yeah, this we thought it was right for us to do another podcast. So yeah, we've got plenty to talk about, and as you said, Matt, those are the two options. If you do want to have a look at Robin's statement, you haven't seen it just yet, it is up on in full on our website. I believe it's still the main story up on the website at this moment in time. So it's a great read, and there's plenty covered in that. And you know, there are some answers to some questions you all may have, which of course, two of which include season tickets and match tickets.
Yeah. So James, I think in summary, that the main message from that section of the statement is just the two options with regards to the season tickets, which we discussed. We can't. There's a lot of people as well asking about season tickets for next year. We can't confirm details just yet. I know you're all really, really keen to pledge your support, and it's really very much appreciated. You know, just the messages and, you know, the amount of people saying as soon as it's announced, I'd like to buy. We can't quite confirm those just yet. Like James was saying, we need confirmed dates for that before we do it, and ticket prices, things like that. We'll all come hopefully very soon with what we're about to discuss. I don't want to go into that too much just yet. There was another thing on the statement as well. Obviously, on the last podcast, we did hope that we'd be able to bring you a retain list. And I know that is something going around the social media pages and such, and speaking to people, that everybody really, really wants to know. And we totally understand that. We'd all be the same. You know, we want to know who's around for next season, who's moving on. obviously, the situation at the minute is just so uncertain. We haven't been able to finalise that information yet. And with just respect to the players that are involved, it's not fair of us to announce it just yet. You know, we need to bide our time and wait for the right time and wait for things to be tied up. And as Robin mentioned in the statement, player recruitment and the first team squad for next year is an absolute priority. And we're really working towards hopefully making some progress on those fronts and bringing you some information very soon. So do keep your eyes peeled on the website. I think we're going to be able to bring you some information quite soon. I don't want to put a time scale on it, but it's all there in Robin's statement. We'd like to bring it to you as soon as we can, and we'll do just that. Moving on, James, from the statement, unless there's anything we've missed?
No, not at all.
So those are the main messages, but yeah, like James mentioned earlier, do go to the website and read it if you haven't already. It's definitely a worthwhile read for all of you. Let's move on then to the academy, and it's something which has been a part of the club now with nothing else going on really for the past few weeks, and a milestone has been reached today, James. This is Friday, by
yes
the way.
Yes, so today is the first Friday session we've been able to host and open up the club for. So previously the academy had been running Monday through to Thursday, so it was 4 days of split sessions with a very number of groups which were coming in and having sort of individualized sessions and small groups with a coach, just basically getting back to the basics of football and just enjoying themselves out on the pitch. And today, Friday, the 10th of July, was the first time we opened up on a Friday. We welcomed back members of our A-level TRS squad and also our Coopers Boys Academy as well. So it was great to have another set of scholars coming in for the first time, getting back onto the stadium pitch, and just getting out there and enjoying themselves and having something different to do during this time.
It's fantastic to see, just to be able to watch people playing football. Yeah. I know it sounds funny, but to actually see it in person rather than looking at a screen, it just gives you a lift,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It really does. And as I've said before, all of the students coming back, you know, the attendance has been amazing. They're all so excited to be back out there. And I think I'm right in saying that the Coopers and the A-level squads don't often train on the actual stadium pitch very often. So again, it's great for them to be back out there and just having some contact time with coaches. We had Neil Salmon and Jamel back out there today doing the coaching. And you know, for them, it's as well. I think we need to mention that the fact that coaches can be back doing their job and doing something that they really enjoy back on the stadium pitch is great to see. And I know speaking to Neil and Jamel throughout the time they've been back, they've just said how happy they are to be actually back in there.
You can see it.
Yeah.
Just when they're walking into the building, just that sense of relief, sense of actually things are starting to creep back to normality, and it really, really is great to see. And another thing I'd just like to add on top of that is obviously measures have had to be put in place,
yes,
as we've discussed before, for these academy students and for the staff that are on site as well. Everyone has been following those really, yeah, really well, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had risk assessments rewritten and a whole new COVID-19 plans to allow this to happen. Again, we have to give full credit to the academy staff, Mark Hammond, Sue, Tom, and everyone else associated with the academy. And of course, to Jeff as well, who's been spearheading everything during this lockdown period at the club. So it's great. And you know, things from like the one-way system to hand sanitising, wearing gloves, masks, just abiding by those rules. Everyone's jumped on it and fully cooperated with it, and it's just made it safe to bring everyone back.
I suppose in that sense, we are, not to big ourselves up too much, we are ahead of quite a few other clubs, yeah, in that respect. And it does feel, doesn't it, like a dry run for perhaps what we can be doing in a few weeks and how we can adapt the measures that we've got in place now to suit other groups coming in when possible.
That's exactly what you hope for. And the fact that this has been going on now for between 5 and 6 weeks, and we've got another week to go next week before I believe the schools break up for their summer holidays. So again, next week will be another five day week for the academy. And yeah, as you say, just getting that sort of routine and our plan of actions in to allow hopefully, you know, other teams, first teams and under 23s and you know, everyone else associated with the club to come back in, the fact that we have those frameworks in place to allow it to be safe for a return just means that it's routine and it will be safe for everyone to return hopefully very soon.
And speaking of safe, James, we're going to move on now to the recent government advice. In actual fact, we're recording this on the Friday. It was issued last night. As expected, it sort of followed on from what the Scottish government had put into place. And there's been an update with regards to sport and recreation. But obviously, for ourselves, need to wait for actual confirmation from the FA to actually, I suppose, translate what the government have said into footballing terms, don't we?
Yeah, I suppose it's that sort of two-stage confirmation. So a lot of the things that have been, a lot of the announcements that have been happening from the government have been setting out what they hope to happen. And then it's down to like the individual sort of governing bodies and individual institutions to provide those frameworks for businesses and sort of clubs like ourselves within the sports world to actually then follow, produce and provide, you know, detailed explanations of how we're going to work and how we're going to make our environment safe to allow things to return. So, yeah, I suppose in terms of, you know, new announcements, new steps for us, it's again waiting for, I suppose, the FA to come out with those frameworks. But I mean, very sort of positive signs for sort of sport in general. The fact that gyms have been allowed to, what, are going to be allowed to reopen.
25th of July, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's massive for not just football clubs and the like, but, you know, the whole community and everyone. You know, it's going to be such a massive thing for people to be able to get back in their swimming pools as well.
Not just physical health, it's mental health isn't it?
It's a massive part. You know, exercise. I do wonder, you know, will people be so open to return to gyms? I know so many people during this time have taken up running, cycling. Will they have, you know, maybe those people going to the gym regularly have now taken up running, will they be, you know, worried about returning to gyms? I suppose that's something we'll have to wait and see. But I think in terms of sport and culture as well, because the announcements last night weren't just about sports.
No.
Yeah, just there's some good news to come from there, and I hope it gives everyone a lift and we can start hoping of that eventual return for us.
So I think that the process is now the FA has to submit what their plans are and what their actual risk assessments are on a general basis to the government, who then have to approve it. So, you know, whilst we've heard this announcement last night, we may well conceivably be waiting a few more days to actually find out. So so for us now, I think that the line is that everything remains as it has been. The government advice, yes, it has come out. Some of it hasn't come into play just yet, but we as a football club affiliated to the Football Association must wait for that official confirmation from them. And I believe actually in that press release from the FA, James, there was a mention of not only activities that could go on throughout the summer, but actually some bits of information about a start for next season for National League clubs specifically.
Which is
really encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's what everyone associated with Bromley Football Club wants to hear, and you know, once that the first team can come back into action, I'm sure the buzz around the whole community and the club will just filter down through to the youth squads, to the youth academy, women's teams and girls academy and under 23s. So yeah, I suppose as you say, Matt, it's just a case of continuing to bide our time and just wait to see what announcements can happen. But you know, as Robin said in the statement, work is going on behind the scenes from those that can still do so at this time. And the club, I'm sure, will be prepared as soon as we're allowed to return.
So at this stage, we're just going to wait for that contact from the FA and the National League, obviously, and basically decide and look into what steps we can take next. But the message at the moment is the club still remains closed to the public at this time. Hopefully in the next few days or the next couple of weeks, we can start to work towards confirming a date for reopening and actually what stages we're going to have to go through and what phases we're going to have to go through to reopen. And let's be honest, James, initially, it's not going to look like it was before.
No.
However, the long-term aim is to get back to that somewhat, isn't it?
As we've seen through many other institutions reopening, it's going to be phased. It's going to be in ways that are completely different to what they were beforehand. You know, it won't immediately go back to a normal. They keep mentioning a new normal, but it's going to be something that we're all going to have to adapt to. And I'm sure we will in time. There's going to be, you know, certain different measures in place. I went to the hairdressers the other day, and they've, you know, you have to hand sanitize as you come in, wear masks, make sure you know they're not using hair dryers or washing hair and things like that. It's all very staged processes to reopen, and I'm sure we'll have to follow that as we have been doing with the academy. So yeah, as you say, Matt, it's not going to be normal by any stretch of the imagination, but if those phases can happen, it would be great to just have the club back open to the public in whatever capacity that could be.
Absolutely. And like we've been saying about the academy, that has given us a really good starting ground to learn actually how to operate, albeit with small numbers. It's a start, isn't it? And we're several weeks into that now. And touch wood, we've not had a single issue yet.
No, not at all in terms of cooperation or actual, you know, students coming in displaying any symptoms. So it gives you that confidence that Bromley as a borough, that the rates are still low. It gives you
and
confidence.
It can work.
It can. It gives
can
you
work
confidence
with the
in people.
System we're using.
Just exactly, you know, following systems and guidelines in place, people, you know, only need to be told once, and they will follow it. And I think the overriding factor within the academy, and I'm sure within players and supporters returning to the club, will be how much they want to return. They will do whatever they can to
Absolutely.
Allow that to happen.
I was just going to say that. I mean, we've seen it on social media, especially, James, when we're putting the posts out on this day, and people are really, really just constantly saying how much they miss it, how much they can't wait to be back. And we're all with you on that, honestly.
Absolutely.
We can't wait for you to be back. And as I was mentioning a minute ago, I really, really hope that we're a bit closer to knowing when we can come back in some capacity. I mean, for example, this month would be the summer holidays, and we've had a lot of parents contact us about our holiday clubs, which have become really popular. Hopefully, once we find out the FA advice, we should be able to make some progress there, if it's safe to do so. We're only going to do things if it's safe to do so. The safety and welfare of all our participants, staff and visitors is paramount to us. So that is really something we're going to think about very carefully. But do keep an eye on the website for any updates. And obviously, hopefully we'll be with you next week on another podcast. And if we've had some update and advice, we can discuss that. And we may even be able to get Jeff to join us and give us something of a lowdown on that. So all very, very encouraging signs. But please remember, for now, things are staying the same until we hear otherwise from the FA, and we'll keep you all updated on that front. But certainly, James, something to get a little bit excited about.
Absolutely. And we'll just keep using the podcast as a means to update you as best we can. The fact that we're doing it towards the end of a working week means that, you know, we can sort of follow up on things that have cropped up during the week. So yeah, we'll continue to please listen to this and share it with all your Bromley supporters, Bromley friends. And just continue to look on the website and stay across our social media channels, because we will be doing our best to update you as and when we can give you some news.
Okay, James, moving on from that. On the last episode, we asked all of you what your favourite pre-season away ground is. James, have we got the answers to this one?
Yeah, we had a great response. I'll run through a few of them, and there's some recurring themes in this one. So we'll start over on Twitter, and we had two votes for Dulwich. So we had Mike, who just commented Dulwich, so it seems to be a popular place, popular ground for him. We had Will Drummond, who, this tweet was brilliant, to be fair. He says, quite possibly Dulwich Hamlet at the start of this season, last season, so 2019 summer, simply because the Hamlet supporters were so confused as to why we were celebrating like mad men and women after winning a pre-season penalty shootout.
I think it's just the fact we won a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
You know, that the ghosts were exercised
absolutely.
On that
and
night.
I'm pretty sure that's what Will was
you
getting
You don't
at.
Get it yeah. unless you're Bromley, do
that,
you?
That's a great tweet. Really enjoyed that one, Will. Thanks for that. Over on Facebook, we had two in from diehard supporters of the club. So Colin Head says Ringmer away in 1996. Really nice club and day out. He also mentions Ramsgate away in 1992. And this is a bit of info on that game. The game finished after the last train back to Bromley, so we stayed in a £9 a night B&B and had a party on the beach. I mean, that sounds great. In terms of pre-season games,
amazing.
I don't think you can get much better than that. And also giving a shout-out to Ringmer in 1996 was Mark Avenel. And he says it was a great little village club. Enjoyed that one. He also says Deal Town away in 1998. We hit a storm on the way home with so much rain. The train stopped in the middle of nowhere as the line had flooded. It took another 2 hours to get back to Bromley. So yeah, thanks so much for the response on those guys. Some great stories in there. And you know, the point of getting that one out was in recent years we have had quite local games, but I was hoping to try and find some of these stories about, you know, going to the South Kent and places like that. So yeah, thanks so much for getting those responses in.
Did you give us yours last week, James?
I didn't know. I haven't even given it much thought. I always quite enjoyed going over to Beckenham.
Yeah, I was going to say, Beckenham's a really nice one. The pitch is always like a carpet,
immaculate,
isn't it?
And I've luckily been
Ian
able
Jordan,
to...
Ian Jordan, though, you know.
Yeah, I've lucky enough actually played on that pitch in a school cup final a few years back.
I remember,
so I've
braced
the hallowed turf at Beckenham Town. I do enjoy that one. To be honest with you, any sort of the reason why I came up was I actually really enjoy preseason. We had the conversation last time.
Yeah.
You know, usually the weather's great, and we always play teams that we won't necessarily often get to play that much. Mm. Dulwich is a great shout. It's always nice going down to Champion Hill. They're always really welcoming and friendly. I'll go with Beckenham Town, I think. I probably stole your one there, have I, Matt?
Yeah, I was going to say Beckenham is always a really good one. I remember a particular trip there a few years ago. It was just so baking hot.
Yeah.
And there were no cover from the sun.
No, there isn't, no.
At all. So it was sunburn or, yeah.
To be fair, shout out to basically. Glebe as well.
Glebe's a good one. Yeah. They're all coming back to us now, aren't they? Yeah. Glebe, what a club on the up locally as well.
Again, very welcoming and friendly. Always very, enjoy going
very nice. Yeah, and a club we sent a couple of our players to on dual registration last year. Yeah, always enjoy that. Normally, that's a mix of reserves and first team.
Yeah.
And Beckenham, I think for a few years in the past, has actually been the opening away fixture.
It has, yeah.
Or the opening pre-season fixture in terms of you have got sort of 20 players, 25 players on that bench. You don't know who half of them are, and they're just sort of coming on in dribs and drabs, and it's just so pure pre-season. Anything goes, doesn't it? And it's often really, really entertaining, and the fact that you can just sit back and relax and you haven't got to worry about the result.
Exactly. Giving a shout-out again to pre-season, I put a photo of the day out earlier on this week. It might have been yesterday, actually, from 2011. The fact that pre-season's coming back, look out, because I can start doing on this days again, because you know, in terms of a calendar year of football, you know, football would have started in July, so there'll be plenty more of those to come. But yeah, there was one from Gillingham, home against Gillingham 2011, and as you're talking about pure pre-season, nothing typified it more of it looked like a scramble in the box, and you had two sets of Bromley kits on show. You had, you know, obviously the first half team still wearing their kit, and then there was a second half team wearing. It's brilliant. It's just pure pre-season. That's a great term.
The thing that gets me about pre-season is obviously doing the role that I do on a match day is actually getting the team sheet.
Yeah.
Now, this is potentially my biggest gripe with pre-season because, A, we don't know some of the players' names, you know, the trialists and such. They're known as a nickname or something like that. I'm trying to find out this player's name. I don't know what his squad number is. The squad numbers are changing all the time. You get about 12 substitutions that come on at once. Not going to announce them, by the way. It is just a logistical nightmare finding. And the worst thing is finding the opposition. Because sometimes you're wondering who to ask, and you sort of, I walked into the dressing room once and had sort of 20 players staring at me just asking for the team, which was quite an experience in itself. But normally clubs really cooperate very well, but it is something of a logistical difficulty. Yeah.
Well, we could bang on about pre-season for ages, but I think Matt will move it on to this week's question of the week.
Yeah, so this week's question, which I thought might be a nice one, I'm going to give mine as well. Who was your first ever Bromley FC hero, player-wise? So, for example, mine was, my first game was back in 2011. So my first real hero, and there have been many since then, but I have to say the first one for me was Hakeem Araba.
Oh,
a lot of you will remember.
Such a good one.
A really good guy. Heart on his sleeve every game. I don't think I've ever seen someone so happy to score a goal.
Yeah.
James, honestly.
Pure passion, wasn't
he? He was passionate. He scored goals. And the best one for me, I remember when we were in a really difficult run in that season. We played Chelmsford, who were in the playoffs at the time, and were actually the form team in the division. I think we were one of the worst form teams at the time. And we beat them 1-0, and Hakeem scored the goal, and it was just absolute carnage behind the goal. It was just such a relief to win that game. But for me, Hakeem Araba, a great player, and unfortunately, he only had, I think it was just over one season, wasn't it? I think he featured a couple of times the year after and then left to play in Greece, I believe it was, and Sweden and such.
Yeah.
But he's mine. James, what about you?
I'll go back to probably when I was first brought to Bromley games with my dad, and I just always took a liking to goalkeepers. When I was in my first early years of playing football, I sort of saw myself as a bit of a goalkeeper. So mine's Andy Walker, and he's just
what a goalkeeper.
Just seemed to crop up with an unbelievable save here, there and everywhere, and you just have to look back to that Kent Senior Cup final where he made that triple save, which was almost missed on camera, but I think it was just captured. And yeah, Andy Walker was mine, and he just typified sort of that those early Bromley teams. Just
he's still playing, isn't he? I think he was at Cray Valley recently.
That's amazing to me. I didn't even know that.
No,
that's,
he was. He went to Cray Wanderers and was there for a few years. I believe he was at Cray Valley last season.
Wow.
If I'm not wrong. I don't know whether he's retired now or not, but what a goalkeeper.
Great goalkeeper.
And somebody who's definitely really shone out in terms of goalkeepers in the history of this club.
That's a great question, Matt. So, please send in your first ever Bromley FC heroes to us. You can do that by tweeting us on Twitter. You can send us a message on Facebook or commenting on the post once we post this podcast out. You can also email us, and the email is just podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk.
And don't forget, if you're tweeting us, use the hashtag Ravens Weekly, just so it's a little bit easier to find your response. So thank you, everyone, for that. James, just any other business, I guess, really.
Yeah.
Two bits that we tend to cover briefly on every podcast, really, is the 100 Club and the Club Shop.
Yeah, absolutely. So referring back to Robin's statement, he mentions how the easiest and the best way to support the club during this time is to obviously offer your refund season tickets. The other ways you can do that during this time is to support our 100 Plus Club. It was a record month last month in June, and then the numbers just continue to grow as we target 500 numbers. I think we're well over about 330 numbers now in total. So again, just amazing support for something that was started off being under 100. And yeah. A big shout out to everyone getting involved with that. I know manager Neil Smith has joined in. I think we've got Mark Cousins involved as well.
Jerry's heavily involved.
Yes. Please do. If you feel like getting involved, it's a monthly draw, 50-50 sort of in terms of the split of money. Raise goes to the club and 50% goes to those taking part with a split of the prizes. Some huge prizes being given out now due to the increased numbers.
Just keeps going up, doesn't it?
I think the first prize last month was well over £300.
321, I believe.
So again, that's if that doesn't give you an incentive to join up, then I don't know what will. Head to our website. There is an article which will give you all the details you need to know on how to sign up. Yes, Matt, you want to
interject? Can I just say, John, I spoke to John earlier this week and he said there's been even more members since June. So I don't know whether some of you heard what we spoke about in the previous podcast and joined up or have seen the social posts or just word of mouth. But thank you to everyone who's joined up since then. John has said it's going to be another record month this month. We just keep saying it, don't we? It doesn't change.
We keep on hearing. So thanks so much to everyone getting involved with that. Yeah, as I said, if you want to join, head to our website, all the details there on how to do so.
And thanks to John and Arthur for running it.
Thanks so much to them. I think as of last month, there was well over £26,000 raised to the club to date since 2011, since it started.
So which is amazing.
Incredible numbers. The other way you guys can help the club at this time is by jumping onto our online club shop, which is now back live. Again, the link to that is on our website. There's plenty of items back up there now, including the last remaining shirts from our kit room clearance. So that was I basically just emptied out the kit room and just sort of
amazing
found some absolute gems on there. There's plenty of match shirts, match repaired shirts, match worn shirts still up there. Some big names still available to take. I know some of the hot ones went very quickly, like Jack Collins and Sam Woods and alike, Luke Coulson's. There's still some current first team player shirts up there, so get your hands on those if you can. We also still have some other items, including the Bromley FC teddy bears.
They're very popular, by the way. And the hats. The hats are still selling at the moment as well.
I guess just preparing for winter, I suppose.
And I think we're almost now. Obviously, we do differentiate between the replica shirts and the match prepared or match worn shirts. I think we've got about two or three replica shirts left now. We've still got some of the match worn, and as you've been saying, James, the player shirts, match prepared shirts. But in terms of replicas, we're pretty much sold out. I think there's a couple left. They're still available. Obviously, James, what we must reiterate is that the club still remains closed to the public.
Yes.
So these will all be posted out. First class recorded, they should be with you within a day or two. And to be fair, our turnaround has been pretty good for
very
that.
Very good. And please do, we've had a number of supporters do it already, but please do, when you do receive your items, please send us a photo of either you wearing them or them hanging up. I think we've had a few pictures in of some teddy bears next to newborn babies.
Amazing.
It's just great to see. So please do continue to do that. We love seeing all those posts.
Just another thing, James, I know we briefly touched on it in the last podcast. We've had more international orders now. We seem to have a following in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
We've had a few from there. In the USA, definitely.
Yes.
Norway,
yeah.
Spain, the Shetland Islands. We've had another one from Scotland today. It's been unbelievable. All over the UK in different places as well. To Cumbria, to Kent, to Nottinghamshire. It's been brilliant.
worldwide. Bromley FC have gone worldwide.
We are massive.
We are massive.
But I think that's actually it now, James. I don't think there is anything else to cover. Thank you so much for joining me today, James. It's always a pleasure to have you on as well. Thank you to all of you for listening to us, and we hope to be back with you next week, where we'll hope to have some more news to bring you. Have a great week, and we'll catch you again soon.